Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, your host, Patrick Van Straten, and today we have a retro lineup for you. I've got Chris Hamill, who's performatively yawning. How are you doing, Chris?
Oh, shit, yeah. I'm very good, thank you. A little bit worse for wear after Celtic's epic triumph over Rangers last night. Rio Hatate, that's how you fix any squad at any given time, that little Japanese genius. So, feeling a little bit groggy. We're shooting this earlier than normal, but this feels like a classic how to fix, like you said. The three amigos, one last time.
Yeah, mate, I'm really excited for this. It's nice to be back on the podcast doing a how to fix. Old school vibes. I listened to episode 24 last week when we was talking about signings, just so I could hear myself talking about Woot Weghorst. Little pat on the back FC, but it's got me all riled up for this one.
I've got to go back to what Chris just said, where he said, one last time. What's happening, Chris? Like, yeah. Are you off? Where's this going?
I feel like this is it. This might push me over the edge. I just clocked that Wout Weghorst is Joe's Pookie for this season, right? What Pookie was to Joe last season, Wout Weghorst is that to him this season?
No, because I said Pookie would never score goals, and he did, which means I've said Woot will, which means he won't.
But just one player you really sink your talents into.
Yeah, there's always one.
And squeeze all the chat out of.
That is not one player. That's like everybody who's just played in the group chat immediately gets reamed out by Tomlinson.
Truth.
Well, today we're going to be taking a look at Leicester, because obviously it's been a really weird season for Leicester. I think we all went into this campaign pretty confident about them having a better year. Last year, okay, they played a lot worse than they had the previous two seasons, but they'd had a ton of injuries. It looked like they should be getting back to their best. They brought in some clever business in Soumaré and Patson Daka, but halfway through the season, they are just a non-factor in the race for Europe. Nobody is scared of going to Leicester anymore. And so today we kind of thought we'd do your old-fashioned, as Chris says, how to fix. But we've got to start by talking about where they are right now, because, guys, they haven't been very impressive. Chris, what's your take on this as somebody who is kind of, you know, variably interested in Leicester, depending on circumstances and how good they are?
Yeah, I've said it a few times before, but the plan B has been fairly shocking this season. It's obviously the defence that's letting them down. They're conceding 1.85 goals per 90, which is more than they conceded in the 16-17 season when they briefly flirted with relegation after winning the title. And they haven't been unlucky. This is where they deserve to be. If anything, they've had the rub of the green slightly. Expected points puts them in the bottom five. And if that was the reality, I think people would be talking about, you know, Brendan Rodgers staying in the role in a little bit more of a critical fashion. But I actually agree with their stance on the window just passed. They kind of held firm, didn't they? Weren't willing to commit massive amounts of resources to short-term problems. I don't know about you boys. Do you think it was the wise thing to do to leave it to the summer in terms of recruitment?
Yeah, I do. I think it was the right thing to do. And I think Leicester fans are fairly realistic about that as well. I think there is some fairly wholesale changes that need to be made, and they're not. January is not the right window to do that. And I think realistically, the signings they would have brought in January wouldn't have been able to push them up into a top six, top eight role. No. And I also don't think that they're going to be relegated. So any signing they would have made would have sort of just bobbed them along. Whereas there are some fairly wholesale changes that need to be made in the summer, some readjustments that need to be made. So I totally agree with the decision, really, to hold off, given that they've got Wesley Fofana back in training, haven't they? Not saying non-police Mendy could come back into the Premier League squad, but has looked fantastic at the AFCON. So I wonder whether following the sale of Benkovic, he might enter back into the Premier League 25. I just think that it's not particularly smart to spend a load of money when it's going to make very, very little difference to Leicester in this month.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you hope that they'd be stabilised by the return of Ndidi to midfield. Like, that's been a real issue for them. I've been pretty impressed by Ndidi when he's played at centre-back. But to me, the issue there is just how easy it is to get through to the defensive zone against Leicester. I mean, as Chris says, 2019-20, this was a side that was a plus 0.5 expected goals per game team, which is really, really good. You know, that is Champions League quality. And now they are about minus 3. Minus 0.3, rather, which is terrible. I mean, they've gone from allowing 9.7 shots a game to allowing 16 shots a game, which puts them 19th in the division. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Like, last year, there were 11 teams that made more pressures than Leicester in the defensive third, and this year, just three do. And what that tells me is that this is a side that cannot control territory anymore. They cannot keep teams out of their box. Last year, 19 touches per game in their box. This year, 32 touches per game in their box for opponents. Massive issues here. And look, does Pereira play a part in this? Yes. Does Fofana play a part in this? Yes. Johnny Evans? Yes. Like, there are all these things that have made incremental changes. But I do think that fundamentally, a team with Leicester's resources, and let's have it right, like, they're one of the richest clubs in Europe because they play in the Premier League and they're bankrolled well and they've had some European football. I do think they should be more resilient than this. So do we need to talk about Brendan's situation?
I wouldn't immediately cast his job in doubt. I do think because of his previous exploits, he does deserve more than a chance, let's say, to get it right in the summer. But like you said, they are underperforming at the moment, and the table is a little bit forgiving of that underperformance. And he's not really assuaged fans' fears by saying things like, you know, the last two seasons might have been the pinnacle for our club. He's been unusually undiplomatic in that sense. Like, realistic, yes, and they will face stiff competition in the summer for the same pool of players from the likes of Aston Villa and Newcastle United, who are now willing to spend a little bit more, and they're obviously a little bit more ambitious in their outlook. So don't get it twisted. This summer is going to be difficult to add players that take them back to that level. They're no longer at the forefront of the chasing pack, are they? They're no longer the disruptors that we sort of labelled them in the last 18 months. And look how easy it is to lose that momentum. I mean, they did suffer an unprecedented amount of injuries and an awful lot of muscle injuries, by the way. And we can touch upon that in just a second, because I did read that in 2020, Brendan Rodgers and co, Leicester's head of, I think it was called Dave Rennie. I'll talk about him in a little bit. He was the head of fitness, go after 20 years, and then didn't really replace him with anyone. I think they got a full-time doctor instead of a part-time doctor. So there's little interesting things behind the scenes there that may have contributed to the sheer volume of muscle injuries. But yeah, they have been a bit unlucky for Fofana, Evans, Pereira, Vardy at the same time. Obviously, Didi and Nacho going to AFCON. Most teams of Europa League size couldn't deal with that. But like you said, it would have been nice for them to be a bit more robust when things did happen to those players.
The one thing I will say is, I think, interestingly for Leicester, that they've actually been caught up, not necessarily off the pitch, but been caught up tactically slightly by those around them. If you look at the likes of Wolves and Brighton, didn't strengthen a great deal in the summer. Wolves in particular, the squad is very, very similar to the squad that entered the season last year. But I feel like Graham Potter has taken a stride forward again tactically. Bruno Lage has tactically come in, made a huge difference to that Wolves backline, produced one of the most outstanding defensive performances from a team outside the top six so far this season I can remember in recent history. And I feel like that is also where Brendan has slightly taken a step back. I'm not sure he's quite as adaptive tactically as we've seen in the past. So big shout out to those guys, Potter and Bruno Lage. They almost feel like they've gone past where Brendan Rodgers was last season, just by little nuances, little tweaks in formation, you know, using a back three, using a back four at times at Brighton. Didn't spend a load of money, but even using the likes of Shane Duffy correctly in that back line, getting improvements out of Adam Webster, have been able to catch up where Leicester were last year.
Yeah, I think if Leicester had more centre-backs available to them, they might have persevered with the back three, because they struck a really nice balance last season, didn't they? But that's just not been an option. So I guess, yeah, Brendan Rodgers does have that excuse. He's not been able to play a system that sort of stabilised them last campaign. And, you know, Johnny Evans offsets a lot of Sionku's deficiencies. And Wesley Fofana was great at progressing the ball, passing the ball, which was important when Pereira was injured down that right-hand side, etc. So he's lost, like, little combinations all over the pitch, which really hasn't helped. But yeah, I still think, like Pat said, a team of that size should be dealing with that a little bit better.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, the idea of the way that teams around them kind of shape our perception of them. Like, that is true that we've seen more kind of upwardly mobile mid-table sides that are willing to play attractive football. You know, we see it from Brentford even. And then you're kind of maybe seeing, okay, Man United are still in a bit of a mess, but you're seeing maybe the big clubs starting to get their shit together for the first time in a while. Spurs have got a great manager and seem to be moving slowly towards a squad that he likes. Arsenal have finally ripped everything up and rebuilt, and it seems to be working for them. Man United, they're going to go and get a decent manager this summer, and they've just got the weight of talent that can see you through. So it does feel like Leicester are... they kind of missed their opportunity, I guess, to cement themselves around the Champions League level. And now the question is whether they can push themselves up above the Villas of the world, the Brentfords of the world again, the Wolves. And it's kind of an open question right now because, yes, I do think injuries are a factor, but I do think that it was kind of shocking to me that at the beginning of the season, people were mentioning Brendan Rodgers as a potential candidate for Man United, given that I think Leicester have got worse every season under him. And yeah, the last 2 years, that's been down to injuries to some degree. But I also think, you know, this is a side that can't even maintain 50% of possession this season. Like, there's a real problem here that needs to be addressed. And we've seen some performances from them that I would describe as shockingly naive. I mean, that Spurs one, chief among them, I guess. Like, that to me was really the pinnacle of everything that's bad about Rodgers.
The only kind of slack I would give him is that a lot of those injuries have sort of straddled across two seasons, haven't they? Like Pereira, Ross Young, who missed a lot of football at the start of this season as well. I think Pereira's missed 51 games at right back over the last two seasons, and that has been a massive hole for them. Tielemans played an awful lot of football and has looked tired of late. There's a bit of fatigue creeping in there, like a little bit of overperformance the season before. And yeah, managing expectations this season has probably been difficult. But go on, Joe. I still think he deserves the chance to put it right in the summer.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he deserves the chance to put it right in the summer. I think the recruitment off the pitch from Leicester still seems pretty solid, doesn't it? Like, I still think Patson Daka was a good signing in the summer, and I think he's going to be at the club for a fairly long time and score plenty of goals, and looks a fairly ready-made replacement for Jamie Vardy. He can also play, I think, at times with Jamie Vardy. Boubacari Soumaré, I think, has taken a little bit more time than they were expecting to adapt. Yannick Vestergaard, though, has been a poor signing for me. I think some of their summer business players like that, I'm not sure what the thought process was behind Yannick Vestergaard, especially in the summer when Christopher Ayer went to Brentford for, I think, less money, right? I'm not sure about that decision making, why they went for him. I think they probably thought, okay, we'll bring him in as a backup here. But Fofana's injury was pretty bad. Johnny Evans, I don't think they expected to be out for as long as he is. He's out till April, isn't he? So they've had to rely on Vestergaard at times and just very, very unconvinced about that. And that defensive structure has just totally collapsed. And Pat said, it's not been brilliant consistently now for a while. Like, it's been struggling. Little spits and spats of injuries have caused that, of course, with to the likes of James Justin, who I think is not talked about enough either. Obviously, he's now returning to the side, and I think that's going to be a big positive for Brendan Rodgers. But I think it's just a case of getting through this season, readdressing in the summer and seeing what it's like at the start of next season. If it continues in a downward spiral come August and September, then it might be time to just have a little bit of a reality check and say, okay, we're not improving here, despite the fact that recruitment has still looked okay. They didn't lose any of their key players in the summer. It must have been one of the first summers in a while that's happened. They didn't lose a James Maddison. They didn't lose a Fofana. They didn't lose a James Justin, whoever. Partially down to injuries, partially down to lack of form to players like James Maddison. But I think hold off and wait until the summer and then in the start of next season.
That's the point I was trying to make, and probably could have made it a little bit clearer if I hadn't had eight Guinnesses last night. But he's not had, like, over the course of 1.5 seasons, perhaps not been... he's been without his strongest 11. Of course, Harvey Barnes missed the second half of last season owing to that knee injury. James Maddison missed 9 games as well last season with, like, recurrent knee and hip injuries. Vardy's missed the start of this season. Obviously, add that to the names that Joe and I just mentioned prior, and it does make for a pretty ugly picture.
The only thing I will say is that other managers around him have also had these problems. Like Graham Potter has lost Ben White in the summer and had to replace him with Shane Duffy and make do with Solly March at left back. Basuma's been out of the side at times, not been able to find a goal scorer through the middle. And I feel like the narrative around Graham Potter has progressed in a much more positive direction because of the football they're playing, the way the underlying stats are starting to sort of fade into his direction, whereas Brendan Rodgers feels like he's dipping the other way, where the underlying stats are starting to fall apart a little bit. Mm. There's a little bit of a narrative developing in the press of not him becoming moany, but I think, like you said, Hamill, earlier, where he's kind of been like, well, maybe it was the pinnacle. Not sure that's what Leicester fans want to hear, and I think he's got to be a little bit careful with that.
Nah. I mean, the game against Brighton earlier in the season was interesting. I think they drew 1-1 because Leicester were dominant in the first half, and then Graham Potter made some adjustments and Brighton were completely like flipped the script in the second half, which kind of lends a bit of gravitas to what you're saying, doesn't it? In that Graham Potter has become more renowned for better in-game tweaks and stuff. But yeah, I still think they're kind of of a similar level right now. I'd still put them in that bracket of like just outside the top, like the elite band of managers. I don't think Brendan Rodgers' fall from grace has been that significant.
No.
Okay, well, if we're saying that we're going to give Brendan another summer, then let's have a look at what they could actually do in the market then. Because
here we go.
When I was going through this, I was just like, you can't have this situation where Ndidi's out, everything falls apart. You can't have a situation where Pereira's out, everything falls apart, or Vardy. And actually, you know, they have benefited over the last couple of years from people hitting hot streaks when they needed them to. Barnes had a hot streak when they needed him to. Iheanacho, who came in and absolutely exploded when they were kind of in dire straits. And then this season, Maddison's been dragging them through stretches of the campaign. So how can they basically increase their resilience? How can they get more players in who can be relied upon? Guys, which positions are you targeting for Leicester in the summer? Where do you think they need to strengthen desperately?
Okay.
Go on, Joe.
I have gone for goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone for centre-half, fairly obviously. I've gone for central midfield. And I've gone for right winger.
Interesting. Interesting. What have you got, Chris?
Yeah, goalkeeper, right-back, centre-back, centre-mid, right-wing as well.
I haven't gone for an attacker, to be honest with you. I just don't think it's a priority. Like, don't get me wrong. If you can do it this summer, there's an opportunity to be had. Go for it. Mm. But I think we're probably in agreement in this that keeper, defence, centre-mid, these are the really key roles. So
yeah,
where would you put your resources there? Because I would say that the biggest move there is potentially the centre mid role.
Yeah. Although I think I might have a fairly cut pricer option. I've put the majority of my fees into centre back.
All right. Well, should we start at centre back? Should we start at centre back?
Or maybe should we start in goal? Should we work our way from the back forward? Or where?
Sure. It's just the least interesting position, isn't it? Like, who have you got in goal then?
Well, should we just quickly chat about Kasper Schmeichel? Because obviously, club legend, let's get that out of the way first. You know, incredible stint at Leicester and has been there for the glory years, done it all, won it all. But I think it might be time to be thinking about moving him on. At 35 years old, he's really dropped off in level this season, hasn't he? Level and quality, really. I mean, some of his sort of underlying numbers, pretty worrying, I would say, from a Leicester perspective. You know, his post-shot expected goals in particular, sort of in the bottom 12% of goalkeepers across Europe. His distribution, not good at all. And I think Leicester fans would probably openly admit it's probably time to start phasing him out. He's played every minute of every game this season, I think, in the Premier League. I'm not sure that can continue at 36 with numbers like this. Okay, the man I've got to replace him is Alexander Neubel.
Yes.
Yeah, on loan at Monaco at the moment from Bayern Munich. 25 years old, has been absolutely sensational at Monaco. Of course, he joined Bayern Munich from Schalke, didn't he? I think they thought this might be Manuel Neuer 2.0 vibes. Unfortunately for Neubel, Manuel Neuer is still playing and seems to be robotic in his output. His agent came out this week, Neubel, and said, look, if Neuer signs a new contract, we won't. And I think Bayern Munich must be looking at it and thinking both of their contracts expire in 2023. I can see Neuer sign an extension. I mean, can you boys see Neuer being thrown to the dogs in 2023. I just think he ends up just signing another year and bobbing along, and then they readdress it when Neubel's gone. I think Neubel's going to go. Tottenham and Paratici were very interested this January and in the summer. He's got the second best post-shot expected goals in the league, and distribution is really, really good. So I think a player like Alexander Neubel, who isn't too young, but has some experience to make an immediate impact, has proven himself in multiple top European leagues now, could come in. He's out of contract in 2023. Isn't going to cost a huge amount to get him out of Bayern Munich, who are aware he will want to leave this summer if he isn't guaranteed that number one jersey from Manuel Neuer. I think it's just a smart move.
Yeah, I like it. I think that they're going to go probably with Kasper Schmeichel for another year, is my gut instinct. Of course, they've invested a lot in the infrastructure at the club, haven't they? A new training centre out of Seagrave. They have big elaborate plans for the stadium in terms of extending that and developing the surrounding area. So I think that this summer, Leicester will spend a significant amount of money, but they'll cut corners where they can. And we might see that happen at goalkeeper, which is why I didn't really lend that much time to it. I drew up a short list. I've already trotted these names out for the likes of Everton, for the likes of Newcastle before, Meret at Napoli, Mattia Perin at Juventus, good young goalkeepers that probably thought they'd be getting more minutes at this point in time in their careers. And then Jan Sommer is only a couple years younger than Kasper Schmeichel at 33, but is performing really well in a struggling Gladbach side. They're only 3 points away from the relegation battle at this point. And if they fare really badly, he would be great in terms of competition for places. That way, you know, even if Schmeichel isn't playing well, you have a readily available number one coming into the side and vice versa. Dean Henderson's probably worth a try for Leicester at some point in the next 12 to 18 months, isn't he? He might be costly, but he definitely wants out. And I think Leicester can use that as leverage. The fact that he's been a little bit disruptive at the moment and is going, you know, loggerheads with Ranić at most given weeks, it would seem. I think one of those names, not quite as comprehensive as yours, but I also think that, like I said, they're going to cut corners there.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is an area where if you can shave a couple of mil off what you're going to spend, you should do it. I mean, a candidate I was thinking about is Bent Leno. I think that even though he's on pretty hefty wages at Arsenal, I doubt he's on bigger wages than Schmeichel, because Schmeichel got that big pay bump after they won the league. He's been there for such a long time. Leno's decent with his feet, at least good enough for the way that Rodgers wants to play. He's better than Schmeichel in that regard. He's been a very solid shot stopper across his time in the league. He now speaks English as well, of course. And most importantly, Arsenal are an incredibly bad selling club. Like, as we've established with Arsenal, if you've got a guy on big wages, they just want to get him out. And in some cases, that's really good. You know, they did amazingly well to get Aubameyang out in this window and save a huge ton of money. Got themselves out of a terrible mistake they made. I think that if somebody offered to take Leno off their hands, because at the moment they're stuck essentially with two number one goalkeepers, which is a big drain on the resources of a club which doesn't have a huge amount of resources, I think that they probably let Leno go for a very, very reasonable fee, as in we're looking at probably 10 million or so.
Is that a contract in 2023 as well, like Neubel?
Exactly.
So I agree. I think this is two options that are quite cost effective.
I think I would agree that Neubel should be the first choice. The only question is, you know, are Spurs going to come back? I know that he's been linked to a couple of the bigger clubs in Germany.
Yeah.
If you can get him to come to Leicester, I think he's your best option here. But failing that, I kind of think there are no bad choices. I think there are lots of interesting keepers around that can be had for pennies.
I would agree with that.
So shall we go with Neubel and move on to centre-back then?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, centre-back wise, what have we got here? Because I also have been looking at expiring contracts. And to me, I think what Chris has said before has been my kind of, you know, guiding star on this. What they need is a Johnny Evans type. They need your more reserved, calm defender who is capable of playing alongside a slightly more aggressive player, because Fofana is aggressive, so Soyuncu is aggressive. They need somebody there who can be a distributor, but who is not going to be constantly racing out of the back line. And so the guy I was looking at there is Alessio Romagnoli, whose contract is up this summer. He's 27, which I think is actually quite a good age, because Leicester don't need to worry too much about age curves because of the profile of the squad overall. He's a better progressive passer than any of Leicester's centre-backs. He's at about 4 final third passes a game, which is up on Evans's 3.8 in his best season at Leicester. So Yunchu is currently at about 2.2, 2.3. He's not a hugely active defender, but I kind of think that's okay. What you want in this position, to me, is a guy who succeeds when he makes challenges. So Evans, historically, has only made about 2 tackles and interceptions a game for Leicester, but 64% success in his best campaign when it comes to actually trying to make a challenge. Romagnoli's at about 58, which is really, really good. So I think that this is definitely a guy who's going to provide some of that steadiness. He's got a 63% aerial win rate, though, of course, if you're next to Soyuncu, that's less of a big deal. He's just got a good, cultured, all-round game. He's had some injuries, so the bigger clubs may not be inclined to take a risk on him. And I think this is exactly the sort of player that Leicester kind of have to target if they want to be upwardly mobile. They've got to take some slight risks maybe on the players who have the potential to pull them up to that upper Europa League, lower Champions League level.
Yeah, do you think the Simon Kjær injury is gonna affect contract negotiations with Romagnoli? Might be my one reservation.
Maybe, but also Milan have been linked to a host of young centre-backs. It looks like they might try and target somebody else. They've been linked to Malon Sarr, they've been linked to William Saliba. So certainly the noise coming out of Milan is that they want to sign another centre-back. And it's possible, you know, given Romagnoli's injury problems over the years and given the fact that he's fallen out of the first team even when he has been fit, that he would just prefer to move on. So, yes, they may well offer him a new contract, but Leicester can afford to compete with Milan when it comes to contracts. They really can.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. I think replacing Johnny Evans, of course, made 28 starts last season, so was almost an ever-present, is top of my list. And sort of when you look at a lot of what he does really well doesn't necessarily come up in the stats, or there's not a stat for it, you know, like blocking passing lanes, covering in terms of positioning for the aggressors like Soyuncu. He marshals the rest of that back line extremely well, and his match intelligence is super, super high, as well as being a really competent and varied passer, like you've said. And one stat that I sort of pulled out to illustrate that to the guys at home is that last season he was only dribbled past every 5 games, whereas Soyuncu is being beaten on a per-game basis this season 4 times more than that. And he's playing in a back 4 now, which is partly explains why they've been so porous, because there's an aggressive defender there and no one to cover him, which is an issue. So yeah, just on the subject of centre halves, I'm going to bring to the table mine a little bit more. I've gone for one slightly ambitious one, and then actually they're both slightly ambitious, but in different ways. I mean, I've been a massive fan of Lisandro Martinez at Ajax for a long, long time. He's been linked with some pretty storied clubs, most recently Barcelona. But Barcelona, I mean, we're now at a point where Leicester could probably outmuscle Barcelona when it comes to paying a transfer fee. Right, just because of the situation that they're in at the moment. Like Johnny Evans, he leads for passes when it comes to his respective side. He's on 80 per game at the moment with an 89% success rate, 5 long balls, only dribble past 0.3 times. Like very, very combative, isn't he? And I think the big teams will be in for Jurrien Timber, because he's getting a little bit more PR, a couple years younger. It is Dutch, but I think the smart teams will be in for Martinez. So I really like him as a choice. I think he's rated by Transfermarkt at current about 28 mil. But Leicester showed a willingness last season to spend big when they had faith. You know, like Fofana cost 40, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think Ajax, if they're being realistic, if Erik ten Hag does leave the club and go to Manchester United, there's going to be a bit of a transition there. And I think if you offered between 40 and 50 for someone like that, you know, bearing in mind that's how much Romero cost Tottenham, and he came with a massive reputation as well, they would strongly, strongly consider it. But that is an awful lot of money for Leicester to put into one position. I do concede that. My other option was Nathan Ake, who is just getting no minutes at all, is he? 1,300 Premier League minutes in the last 2 seasons. Like, he's 26 now. So he's picked up a trophy. He's been part of a winning side. That's great. but you don't want to be 27 having put up less than 2,000 minutes for your club in the Premier League. I mean, left-footed, so would compliment Fofana well in that back four. Manchester City are in a strong negotiating position given that his contract expires in 2025. So they'll want to recoup a lot of that 40 mil, won't they? But he's done his job. He's gone there as cover. They haven't necessarily needed him. And I think probably the fair thing to do when approaching his third season on no minutes is to let him go for, you know, roughly what they paid for him. I think if you bid between 30 and 35, City would probably consider it, wouldn't they? Mm. So yeah, one of those two feels like they'd be a great addition for me.
I've taken a slightly different approach to this one. I'm not going to lie, lads. I've gone down the let's spend money to fix the problem. I'm chucking quite a substantial fee at my centre-back. Now, I was listening to the Leicester fans forum last night, which is actually pretty good in terms of Leicester podcasts. And they have Rob Tanner from The Athletic there, I think is the reporter for Leicester, right? And he was talking about Leicester not willing to dip into the January market here and looking to identify another Wesley Fofana. Try to find another quite active centre-back. So that goes, maybe my thinking has been a little bit different to your Johnny Evans guys style thinking. And I've actually had a look in the Bundesliga and I think it would be a real coup to get hold of Edmund Tapsoba out of Bayer Leverkusen. Now, I think this would be an extremely punchy signing. I'm not sure they would be able to pull it off, to be honest with you, given that his fee is going to be large and substantial with the amount of clubs that are currently chasing him. But they tried to sign him in 2020, didn't they, for 20 million euros from Vitor, but Leverkusen beat them to the punch. They have had a couple of nibbles in the past, again, since he's been at Leverkusen, and have failed with those nibbles. And he now looks like one of the best centre-backs in the Bundesliga at 22. He is just a man that can do it all, 6'3". He's under contract till 2026, sadly, but his ability on the ball is so underrated, man. Like, right up there in the top 10 percentile for passes attempted, pass completion, progressive passes, dribbles. He's a really active centre-back. But then at the back as well, he's in sort of top 15% across Europe for tackles, top 10% for blocks. He is an incredibly active centre-back, which aligns a little bit more similarly with Wesley Fofana. The only issue I would say they're going to have is, even following the AFCON performances he's put in for Burkina Faso, where he's been sensational, you know, taking Burkina Faso to an AFCON semi-final. I know they lost last night to Senegal, but beating the likes of Tunisia along the way is no mean feat. And he has been one of the standout players at the tournament. I'm not sure Leverkusen are going to be able to keep him much longer. And I think if he leaves Leverkusen, it's probably going to be for one of the elite Champions League level sides at like 50, 60 million. So I don't think Leicester are going to be able to get him, sadly, but I think it would be a huge statement of intent for them if they could.
Well, now could be a sweet spot because, like you said, Leverkusen, I think they've got Kasunu and Jonathan Tarr as their centre-half pairing at the moment. Obviously, Tapsoba is at the AFCON, but he's not put up loads and loads of minutes in the Bundesliga this season, last time I saw. So maybe they think, you know, we could deal with this and get a big chunk of change in the process.
Yeah, yeah, and also riches come calling, don't they?
Yeah, and also, you know, maybe it's less of an issue to have two aggressive centre backs if you do go to a back three. You know, maybe in that Brendan situation Rogers, you can do it.
I do think Brendan Rodgers is, the rest of his squad is quite well set up for a back three. I think Pereira is probably a better wing back than fullback. I think James Justin is maybe a better wing back than a fullback. I think Wilfred Ndidi sits in front of a back three really nicely as well. And it might also allow you to play Patson Daka and Vardy going forward with James Maddison slightly reserved. I don't know. I think the squad works quite well with a back three, which means two active centre backs can happen. I'm unconvinced they'll be able to get a Tapsoba. So I think maybe some of your signings are slightly more realistic.
Well, if they went to a back three, then James Justin is also superb in a back three.
Yeah.
And his versatility is massively underrated. So he could maybe also fill in to that degree. I agree that Ricardo Pereira, I think, was superb in a back four when he arrived. But if they do go to back three, Justin does go on that right-hand side. I think left back becomes an issue. I think Luke Thomas, whoever else is deputised there, would need upgrading. But yeah, I like it. It's nice.
I don't know, man. Like, I like James Justin, but there's nothing attacking wise in his game at the moment, and that's a bit of an issue. Like, it, we'll see how he is when he's like fully recovered from injury, but he is 24, and this is kind of the point where you'd say this is starting to, this will be what the player is. He's moved around a lot, but his defensive numbers have always been really solid, about 4 tackles and interceptions a game. But I mean, obviously substantially down on Pereira, but who isn't? His progressive passing's okay, but he doesn't crack a dribble, doesn't crack one key pass a match. Like, I really like this. I really like him as a player, and I like what he offers, especially as cover, but he's not somebody who I'd be thinking, yeah, this has got to be, this guy has to start in our team going forward. Whereas, you know, Pereira, I would still be like, we need to gamble on getting Pereira back because he was one of the best fullbacks in the league when fit.
Yeah, Pereira's drop off has been absolutely staggering though, hasn't it, in the last few years?
Well, I think the injury has just really curtailed his like, not his career, but it's had huge impacts on his physicality, I think.
If they remain confident they can get 19-20 Pereira back, then I don't think right back needs looking at all, because he was putting up over 6 tackles and interceptions, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Then that dropped by about 50% the next season, which is understandable because he suffered that massive injury, a bit tentative when he came back. And then this season, I was probably a little bit critical of him when he came back to the side. I thought he looked like a shell of his former self, but his numbers are actually okay. They were recovering. And I guess it's a hamstring injury this time around and not an awful break, isn't it? So hopefully that he can recover some of that form. I mean, over 2 dribbles in 2021 as well. That fell to 1 when he came back this season. So maybe he has lost a little bit of pace or confidence to beat his man. So that's not going to be a simple solution, is it? Like building him back up. But I think James Justin, his underrated quality is actually like those underlapping runs, getting inside the box, and sort of stitching together attack and defence. Well, defence to attack, even when no one else will take that responsibility. But should we move on to right back then? Should we just decide on a centre half first, actually? Yeah, that would probably be beneficial.
Well, what are we saying here? Like, how much of our resources do we want to commit to this? Because I'm hoping, Joe, that you'll have taken into account how much money you're spending on Tapsaba, like when we get to centre mid and your wing.
I have indeed.
Okay.
Yeah, I have.
What do we reckon then?
Do you want me to, what, picking a centre back here?
If you can get him, I think you should get him.
I'm happy to relent on Tapsoba. I'm not. I think your chat has kind of swung me about looking more for a Johnny Evans replacement than potentially a secondary active centre back.
I mean, I like Lisandro Martinez. I'm not sure I'd want to spend more than 30 mil on him, which I think they're going to have to. Who was your other one, Chris?
Nathan Ake. For me, that feels the most realistic. I can actually see him in a Leicester shirt.
Yeah, but
he's actually not bad in the air, which Leicester, I know he's only 5'10", 5'11", isn't he? But he's athletic. But Leicester have been horrendous.
I think Leicester are smarter than that, though.
Defending crosses.
Yeah.
I think their recruitment over the last few years has proved to be smarter than that. And like the post-Vestergaard, I wonder how reticent they'll be to be dipping into the Premier League market again.
Well, in my head, I was actually thinking Salisu and then send Vestergaard back plus like 25 mil. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure Southampton would go for that. Like, I think Salisu is exactly the sort of profile of player who would thrive at Leicester, but given the way he's finishing the season, Southampton are stupid. They've just been taken over, haven't they? There's less need to offload their stars, so maybe not.
Who was your shout again, Pat?
Romagnoli.
So should we go for Romagnoli or Martinez then? I'm happy to go for I'm not spending that much money moving forward.
Let's do Martinez then. Let's do Martinez then, because I think this is a... Injuries have been such an issue for Leicester that I think you should be relatively cautious about signing players who've had significant injuries. So let's go on. Let's
do, good point.
Very, very quickly look at fullback then, before we get into what I think is the real meat of the issue. Have you got any fullbacks, guys?
I haven't.
Go on, Thomason.
I haven't brought a fullback to the table.
Okay. My shortlist was Mazraoui at Ajax, who we tipped for Everton as well. And also Frimpong at Leverkusen, I thought might be an interesting shout if they're looking to replace Pereira's forward thrust. But I didn't lend it as much thought as the other positions. What about you, Pat?
To me, it was like not really a priority. I mean, I know that Pereira is a gamble. I know that Justin is a gamble because of their fitness issues. I thought that maybe Pablo Maffeo could be kind of interesting, formerly of Man City. He's 24 now. He's at Mallorca. Really good numbers this season. Over 4 tackles and interceptions per game, 90% tackle success, nearly 2 dribbles a match, 66% successful. He's not a big creator. He's not a big aerial presence, but he's very solid defensively. He can drive the team up the pitch. So he's going to replace some of that Pereira ability to take his side forward. But I also think, again, this is an area where you can afford to scout about and see what options are available. You know, Hector Bellerin is having a good season at Betis. Could be an interesting one if you're going to go to a back three. Has been probably at his best as a wing back. Wan-Bissaka, if Man United are thinking about moving him on, that would be an interesting different thing to go for. So I think that there are options to be had. It's not a priority position, but I think if an opportunity arises, Leicester should think about taking it.
Maybe we should just move on then without making a definitive decision at right back, because it feels quite general, doesn't it, our conclusion?
Well, let's have a look at centre mid, because to me, this is really the key. Fundamentally, when we're talking about what's going wrong with Leicester, and I think that this is both... it's kind of a defence for Rodgers, and it's also a way to criticise him. When indeed he isn't there in central midfield, Leicester look incredibly porous. It is as simple as that. And that's understandable because he's one of the best, you know, like basic, I don't mean that in a bad way, but basic defensive midfielders in the world. But Leicester do need to have far, far more ability to cope with him being gone. Like, they know that he's going to go sometimes to AFCON. They know that he's going to get injured sometimes. He can't play every minute. And so to me, what you need here is a midfielder who maybe adds some of the verticality you get from Tielemans, because he's probably going to go as well, but really who's going to be a big defensive presence too. So guys, what have you got here? What are you looking at?
I think they need 2 central midfielders. Mm-hmm. I think they need 2 central midfielders in the summer, to be honest with you, because I agree Yuri Tielemans is going to leave. I don't see him remaining beyond this summer. He's got a contract to 2023. This is going to be the last summer where they have a serious opportunity to take heavy cash for one of their star assets. I think he's easily capable of playing in the Champions League right now and isn't going to be willing to play no European football next season. So I think he will leave in the summer. They'll be fully aware of that. And I think they need to find a flat-out replacement for him, as well as a rotation option with Wilfred Ndidi, who is consistently injured, like you said. I haven't bought a Wilfred Ndidi option to the table. I've bought what I think is a Tielemans replacement to the table, to be honest with you. Not a defender in the way that Pat's just spoken about. I think you made some really valid points there, Pat, but I think the secondary centre mid is probably the guy who is going to do this for me. The guy that I am bringing to the table is a cut price deal for Renato Sanchez, who I think is going to be on the move in the summer. Obviously, he was close to joining AC Milan this January. Also, like Tielemans, a contract up in 2023. Has got his injury issues. We know that it's well documented. But I'm just in my head pretending they're not happening right now, because Let's Have It Right is still one of the most progressive central midfielders in European football when he's fit. There's a graph doing the rounds on Twitter recently that some of you might have seen by Calcio Danny, which is calculating and putting visually the under 24 progressiveness from central midfielders in world football right now. He is like the Messi of progressive young central midfielders. It's a freakish sort of performance on the chart. His numbers are just incredible, you know, like putting up close to 3 dribbles per 90 in the top 1% of central midfielders. I think putting up over 7 progressive ball carries, over 6 progressive passes. If you can keep him fit, this is a guy who's putting up like over 3.5 shot creating actions per 90. He has been a monster when he's fit, and I think he's so well suited to the Premier League, man, if you can keep him fit. I just not sure Leicester have the medical staff to be able to do it, but I would love to see Renato Sanchez at Leicester as a Tielemans replacement, playing alongside Wilfred Ndidi. That physicality of those two in midfield would be one hell of a watch, and I think, if anything, the Euros proved last summer was that Renato Sanchez can still operate at the highest echelon of European football. So for me, I think it would be a fun, cheap central midfield option to be paired with another more basic defensive rotation option like Ndidi.
Yeah, my one issue here, though, is that you've got Soumaré there. And Soumaré's progressive numbers in France were among the best in the league. An absolutely sensational forward passer. Less of a dribbler, but reasonably press-resistant as well. And decent defensive numbers, too. And he's still adapting.
I don't think he plays quite as far forward, though, does he? He doesn't play quite as far forward as like where I would want Renato Sanchez operating in terms of getting in and around the area as well, supporting James Maddison. I think that is something that they have missed a little bit this season, is those shot-creating action numbers, Leicester. And I think that is where Renato Sanchez is actually at his best. Progress the ball from midfield and support around the edge of the box. I'm not sure. I think Boubacar Soumaré, a really good progressive passer, but even then his numbers are considerably down on Renato Sanchez and doesn't offer anywhere near what he offers in the forward areas in terms of shot creating actions. I think around one a game. So I see what you mean, but I think that they need something more going forward as well in terms of midfield output, because Youri Tielemans does help and does contribute in those areas.
I just don't think Brendan Rodgers would gamble on someone with those fitness concerns.
I agree.
I love this idea and can never see it happening, just because, like, if Tielemans does go and he's in the last year of his contract come the summer, and a lot of first team players are, by the by. I mean, if for all Tielemans is like, for some of his shortcomings, he is always fit, isn't he? And he's always needed and necessary. So I think they'd have to. If they were selling him, a similar body would have to arrive. I think you two have just kind of like that like mild disagreement you had kind of encapsulates the catch 22 here. Because if Brendan Rodgers continues to play a double pivot, then you've got Ndidi and you've got Soumaré. Like, Soumaré does feel like the succession plan to Tielemans. Like, he was brought in part because Tielemans was being sticky over a new contract. And I think that is a perfectly fine double pivot. But if he wants to play, you know, 4-3-3 or mix it up a little bit, maybe his options are limited because, at the moment they are lacking a little bit of like a box-to-box presence, just not athleticism, but some tenacity, I guess. And that's why I went for Boubacar Kamara at Marseille, 22, defensive midfielder primarily, but he does what Tielemans does well. He's great at carrying the ball out of defence. He's good at distributing under pressure, but he's probably also a little bit more solid defensively. And that will come at a cost of some attacking output, because Tielemans can be, can't he? An 8, 10, whatever. He is a little bit more versatile. But Boubacar, out of contract in the summer, of course, was offered to Manchester United. They deliberated over it, ultimately decided not to go for him in January. Just like I said, an excellent rangy passer, a great presser, which, you know, every good Brendan Rodgers side has had like 4 or 5 very active presses, isn't it? And he's in the top 2% for successful pressures when it comes to defensive midfielders. So yeah, he does all the things that Tielemans does well, like I said, but shores that midfield up a little bit if Brendan is going to go with the three and is not going to cost an arm and a leg. You might have to pay a little bit more in wages to get ahead of the competition, let's say, because he's not going to be short of suitors, is he? I can see like the Milans going in for him, for example. But in a similar way that we were touting, what's his name that's just gone Juventus from Gladbach?
Zakaria.
Yeah, in a similar vein, we were saying like if Denis Zakaria is there, you go for him. I feel like that's the case of Boubacar Kamara at the moment.
Yeah, I really like this player, and he'd give you cover at centre-back as well. Actually, to be honest, pretty much everybody at Marseille is putting up numbers right now. Rongier looks amazing in midfield. Guendouzi looks like one of the most progressive midfielders in the world. Like, it's just been an incredible job there by Sampaoli. So I've actually got a Ligue 1 midfielder as well. I've got Cheick Doucouré from Lens, who has been having a really, really great season too. And actually, his second successive really great season. He's 22 and he's just kind of got everything you'd really want to see from a player in midfield. You know, over 5 tackles and interceptions a game, 6 progressive passes per game, which is about as good as it gets. And just to clear that up for anyone watching who doesn't know, a progressive pass is a pass that moves the ball either into the box or at least 10 yards further upfield. So these are really important passes. They're normally ones that play between the lines. That's why they're important. He's also about 7 progressive carries a game. Again, these are, you know, him running forward with the ball and over a dribble a game. And I just think that This is a guy who is clearly physically above the level of Ligue 1, who plays at a much higher tempo than the rest of Ligue 1. And as a result, I think he should go to a much faster league. I mean, maybe not quite as fast as the Bundesliga, but a medium-paced league like the Prem, I think would suit him really, really well. He's got pretty much every ability that you need to step up to the next level. And at 22, he's young. He's got time to improve, but he's not so young that it's going to be a massive project. And with Soumaré, like, I really love Soumaré, and I still think he's going to be great for them. But you could see when he was coming in that he needed to develop physically. And he still looks like he does. Doucouré looks like that would be less of an issue for him.
Yeah, I like that. If we're going to spend £40 million on Lisandro Martinez, then I think we need to go for a slightly budgeted option in midfield, right? And he could be that guy. I like both of the Boubacar Kamara and your guy from Lens. I think
you could get both as well.
I think for me would write off Renato Sanchez though, and watch him, you know, star in 7 games at Wolves next campaign.
But Boubacar Kamara on a free as well, I think that's really smart business. So I would lean towards those two.
All right, cool. So shall we move on then to attack? Because you guys have got attackers. I have it, but I'm intrigued to hear what you've got. So let's run through these.
Okay, I've gone for a right winger. Mm-hmm. I've gone for Samuel Chukwueze out of Villarreal, who's not playing much at all this season following the sort of development and breakthrough of Yerry Pina?
I'm not quite sure.
I think it is. I don't know how to pronounce his name properly, listeners. I'm afraid, embarrassing myself. But, you know, 2 starts this season for Samuel Chukwueze is not the development I think he would have been hoping for. Obviously, he did have that injury in 2021 to his hamstring, didn't he? Which has, I think, hindered some starts. But in the general, has been overtaken a little bit in that Villarreal side, I think, in Unai Emery's thinking anyway. But still an absolute monster of a ball carrier. Still a huge dribble machine. And I think would be a big upgrade on the likes of Yossi Perez and Adeloma Lookman, to be honest with you. I think you could get him out for a slightly cheaper fee than was being touted when he was linked with some of Europe's elite clubs, which was only last summer, maybe the summer before as well, when he was absolutely flying and everybody was talking about him. He offers that sort of ability to come in from the right onto his left. So I think for a guy who's putting up, you know, over 3.5 dribbles a game, pretty decent non-penalty expected goals numbers, pretty decent non-penalty expected, pretty decent expected assist numbers. He is a very, very solid option that would be not cheap, but cheaper than some of the other superstar players in that role, and could progress quickly, given that it was only 18 months ago we were talking about him being a really, really special talent. I think Samuel Chukwueze is a smart bit of identification.
Yeah, I like that there's a good opportunity there to pick up, and help him move on where maybe others have left him behind. I think that's a more interesting shout than mine. I have a feeling that Leicester are going to pull the trigger on Lookman because Brendan Rodgers has just had a little love affair with him for quite some time. Like, he tried to get him at Celtic as well. But unfortunately for Leicester, Lookman has done his best work this season coming in off the left, which is obviously where Harvey Barnes has done his best work. So I feel like he's gonna come arrive on a permanent and not have a permanent home in the starting lineup, which has kind of plagued his career so far, right? So yeah, a little bit unfortunate there. I think if you can nick Jesse Lingard from the competition, then maybe it's a smart idea to do so, because West Ham are, of course, nipping at the heels of Champions League football, Europa League football in the same vein that Leicester were last season. And I do think he strengthens that side significantly. And if he went to, you know, Everton on high wages, if he went to, I don't know why I was going to say Tottenham. He's not been linked with Tottenham at all, has he? But you know what I mean? One of those sides, it would be to Leicester's detriment to not even put themselves in the frame, I guess, But I actually think your suggestion is more interesting.
I think it's an exciting front line. Let's say in a couple of years you had a front line of Chukwueze, Patson Daka and Harvey Barnes as a front three. Like, I think that's a pretty exciting front line, given that Patson Daka was one of the most highly rated talents across Europe, wasn't he, when they signed him, in terms of goal scorers. And Samuel Chukwueze has gone from a guy starting and being vital in everything Villarreal do to a player who's played 400 minutes in La Liga and scored two and got an assist. Like, I think it would be pretty intelligent business if Villarreal are willing to deal.
Yeah, I do want to stress, it does feel harsh on Lookman. Like, second for take-ons in the squad this season, only behind Barnes. I think he's third in terms of chances created. And Leicester are going to get a bunch of money and save a bunch of money on wages if Dennis Pratt completes his a permanent move to Torino, right? So there is going to be money there, although the squad is full at the moment, isn't it? Benkovic, there's a space, like you said earlier, with Benkovic leaving. But they kind of do need to sell before they bring any of these guys in too. So, I don't know, maybe Lookman will be a victim of that. And if they can get Chukwueze for less than he would demand, then yeah, fair play.
My only issue with Chukwueze is I wouldn't spend a huge amount of money on him. Mm. Like, I think he feels... I don't think he's that necessary, for one. And also, I think the... I don't know why, but it kind of feels a bit like the Şengizunda thing. You know, like, this is a guy who was meant to go to a big team and be a superstar, and it never quite happened. Mm. Why is that? So, I don't know. I think it would be an interesting one. I think that they will just do the Lookman deal. And you know what? I do think Barnes has played on both sides. So has Lookman. I think, not at Leicester, but really. But I think you could... I think there'll be a way to get both of them into the team. And also, if we were talking about going to a back three, then you're kind of looking at playing narrower guys in there anyway, and you're going to want to rotate. I don't know. I kind of like both of these moves. So where are we then? We've got... Go on.
No, I was going to say, I suppose if you... that's a good point in terms of going to a back three, reverting to a back three, but then you've got... when they do, they tend to play like 3-5-2, don't they, with Maddison behind one striker. So I suppose Maddison also becomes an issue in that regard. I think, look, you're right. Lookman, it's wrong to pigeonhole someone that's not played that many minutes, right? Well, until last season for Fulham, and just say he's definitively a left winger. Of course he can play on the right, but he just looks far more comfortable off the left. But maybe Rodgers is confident he can adjust his game. So yeah, I'd be happy with making Lookman permanent or gambling, or one last gamble on Chukwueze's potential.
Okay, well, I think if we're going to bring in Kamara and Doucouré in midfield, though, I'm not sure we can also afford Chukwueze. So we've got Lookman, Doucouré, Kamara, Lisandro Martinez, and then Alexander Nubel in goal. Mm. You know, it's pretty good, and it does all feel like Leicester-type business.
It does. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them happen in the summer, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, guys. I think that was a really interesting one, because Leicester have been a bit of an enigma for a while now. It's been kind of a strange one to try and figure out. And I think it would be interesting to see what Brendan Rodgers does when everybody's back, and whether, you know, players just fix it, or whether Brendan actually starts to adjust as well. Before we say goodbye, is there anything that you guys would like to plug?
Why not go and watch Zach on We Need to Talk this week? He was reviewing the biggest January movers and shakers. I couldn't have disagreed with his list more, to be honest with you, but nevertheless, you should watch it and disagree with it too.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
Chris, you have got anything?
Just echoing Joe's sentiments. Go and let Zach know your thoughts on We Need to Talk.
All right, lazy. Thanks very much for joining me today, guys. And thank you for watching or listening, however you consume this podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast channel on YouTube at Football Daily Podcast, or that you're getting this on your favorite podcast app. And we will catch you next time. Bye.